Welcome to your Relationship Success Show, the place for relationship empowerment and actionable tools so you can let go of old wounds and create happy, loving relationships. Whether you're single, married, divorced, or anything in between, set yourself up for relationship success. I'm Dr. Sarah, clinical psychologist and consultant, helping business leaders and entrepreneurs to feel more connected and whole. Let's get started.
Hello, friends, and welcome back. This is something so important. It's come up a lot in my practice, people that have contacted me in the DMs, emails, and it is this issue which fundamentally relates to something that I'm not entirely sure if you are aware of this, so I really need to shout it out. Your relationship is either in a state of growth, where you're nurturing each other, you're loving each other, there is a lot of care and attention and effort that is being poured into it, or your relationship is dying. There is absolutely no in between. If you feel like you're stagnating in your relationship, if you feel like things are just standard, the status quo, you're living day by day, you're both coming home from work, you're watching TV, you're getting the dinner ready, getting the kids sorted out, whatever it might be, but it's basically just the same again and again and again. And when you really look at the relationship, you realize, oh, well, it's mundane, it's stagnating. That is actually the beginning or the continuation of the death of your relationship. And this is something really sneaky that comes about, and a lot of people don't actually recognize it. And we don't recognize it because we fill our life with distraction. And sometimes it's active distraction, but sometimes it's, you know, unintentional distraction, but it's stuff that we have to deal with. So really, really common experiences is, let's say you've got kids. Kids require so much of your time. Or let's say you've got a parent that you're looking after, again, requires so much time. And whenever that happens, particularly in a relationship and you've got a third person or multiple people that your energy goes towards, that it becomes a focus. So you might have been married or been together for a long time, you've got kids, and then all of a sudden you are really focusing in on anything and everything to do with the kids because they're requiring a lot of attention and energy. So, you know, the school pickup, drop off, the activities, what you're doing at the weekend, in the evenings, cooking dinner, packing their lunch, whatever it might be. But point being is that you are pouring so much into your children or into that elderly parent, the family member that you're having to look after, and again, requires so much time and energy and attention. And that becomes your focus. So often what happens is that when children leave the nest, and you're just left there with your partner, you're both looking at each other thinking, what has just happened? Who are you? And so many people that I have worked with have realized, oh my goodness, we have been operating as housemates for the past however many years. And they only realize this at the point when they're loved one is not with them, or they're no longer having to look after them, or they realize, you know, that the kids have left home and actually it is just them together again, and they have got no other distraction. The distraction, the other point of focus has been removed, and they're having to look at the reality of their relationship, and they realize that so much time has gone by that they don't actually recognize each other anymore. They kind of, you know, they know each other. They know that they've been living together, that they have children together, that they've built this house together, that they work whatever jobs. Like, you know, they know the other person on paper, but they don't actually know them on the inside. And as time has gone on, both of you would have evolved. You would have evolved and changed in certain ways because you've had different life experiences, certain things have happened to you. You've had new contacts, you've evolved, you've changed, and so is your partner. And Actually, there is so much in that. There is so much more learning to do because you look at your partner, let's say you've had kids, the kids have been at home for 18 years, the kids leave. You've got 18 years worth of catching up to do, of learning about your partner to do. And that can sometimes become a real shock to the system. So you're looking at each other, you don't even recognize each other anymore, and you're questioning what has happened. And you look at your partner with the assumption that things are going to be exactly how they were when you were first together. You romanticize about those times. You assume that those times are still valid, that actually your partner should be exactly how they were. But the truth is that they're not. And neither are you. And neither should either of you be exactly who you were 18 years prior. Because if you were, then it shows that nothing has changed in the 18 years, that neither of you have developed or grown as individuals. And how sad would that be, that actually 18 years have passed and you have not developed in that time? You've not matured in that time, you've not grown or learnt something new or developed in some particular way. Because you would not be the same individual when you're in your 40s as you were in your 20s, right? Like, you shouldn't be. And you know, whatever time scale, but we are constantly evolving and growing. And here's something that I often tell clients, and that's the thing that they get really shocked at, is if you're not growing together, you are dying together. If you are not nurturing your relationship and there is some form of development and growth, then the relationship is absolutely deteriorating. Because you've stopped learning about each other, you've stopped recognizing each other, you've stopped seeing each other for the reality of what it is, of what you are, and you've stopped really being with that other person. And what happens is that often people have this idealized, romanticized vision of what they believe the relationship should be like or what it used to be like. And so let's say this vision is high up in the clouds, it's this imagined feeling, it's this imagined picture. And the brain, by the way, cannot tell the difference between what is real and what is imagined. And so you're there romanticizing and fantasizing about this ideal way, this ideal image of what your partner should be like or what they were like at day one when you first met, when things were perfect, when you both were super happy, what, you know, whatever it might have been. But you're in that space, right? And you believe that it should be true now. So you've got this idea in your head, this cloud, and then you are met with the reality and you then question, well, why are you not like this cloud? Why are you not the same as this cloud? You go in with the assumption that the cloud is real and then you see that the reality is discrepant from that. And that's when a lot of ruptures start to begin. And actually, that's when people start to grow apart. Because they're so attached to this cloud, i.e. what you both were like 18 years prior, and you're not really considering that you have to let go of that attachment, you have to let go of that image, that cloud that was in your mind 18 years ago, so that you can start to look at what is now. You know, sometimes we have to let go of the past in order to embrace the future, to embrace the now, to be able to move forward. And it's not to say that you forget about it. It's not to say that the past doesn't matter. You can still absolutely miss the past. But if you're perpetually reminiscing about the past and you're wishing that the past is right here now, then it shows that you are attached to something. And perhaps that thing that you're attached to can't be now because your partner has evolved and so are you. But it's also, you know, then I would beg the question, well, what is it exactly about the past that you are attached to? What is it exactly that you are really craving? And I would home in on the emotion. What emotion are you really craving that this past image gave you? And the emotion might have been feeling understood, feeling loved, feeling cared for, feeling like I was the priority, feeling like I mattered. And typically, those are the things that come up. And let's be honest, if those are the things that are coming up for you, that you mattered, that you were priority, chances are it would be also the same for your partner. But if you're both attached to what your partner was like 18 years ago and not what they're like now, how could you ever feel like a priority to them? And how could they ever feel like a priority to you? Like, it's just not going to happen, because actually you're not prioritizing them in current day. You are prioritizing the 20 years ago. And so that feeling of being prioritized or feeling like you matter, it can't happen, because you are literally saying what mattered was the past. Right here, right now, how you are is not my priority, is not the thing that matters. The past is what matters. And you know, if I'm breaking it down and I'm explicitly saying it, I'm explicitly writing it out for you so that you can see the difference there. But you can appreciate how in that moment, yeah, of course, you would both feel like you're growing apart, because actually you're not mattering to them and they're not mattering to you right here, right now. You're both living in another vision, in another reality. So one thing that I would really suggest in terms of if you are committing to growing together, to working together, to seeing, can you salvage this relationship? Can you make it feel more fulfilling? Can you move forward? Is really, first of all, by starting to learn about each other and really learn about each other. And, you know, you can make it like a bit of a game, but go on a date and really learn about the other individual. So what foods have you recently come across? And really lean into what is new for you. What has been going on for you? How have you been feeling with the kids gone or with not having this responsibility anymore? How are you feeling about your work? What kind of impact is that having on you? How are you feeling about your personal time, about your energy? How are you feeling right here, right now? What is it that matters to you right here, right now? And really sitting with that. And as though it might feel uncomfortable to begin with, because actually it's something that perhaps you've not been doing previously, or you might think, oh God, I should know the answers to these, or you assume that you know the answers to these, or your partner might say, oh, do you not know the answers to these? Actually, if you both postpone any form of assumption of knowing each other and you make it a bit of a game or for fun, or you just go in with an open mind saying, hey, you know what? It's been a long time since we've connected. We've spent so much time and energy at work with the kids doing whatever else that I feel like we've grown apart. Would you be open for us to really learning each other again? And with that, you can then really start to take a step forward to really lean into the new information or the new partner that you've got, because or the evolved partner that you've got. And actually, that in itself is really important. It's really meaningful, and you can really evolve with their evolution. And step number two is really considering what it is that you can both be building together. And one metaphor that I like to use is if you imagine that you're both collecting materials and you're building a house. Now, when you're collecting materials, if you were actually doing this, you would have to speak about it, right? You would have to say, okay, I'm going to collect this and you're going to collect that. And how much of this and that do we need? And would we need anything else? And through that process, you're actually learning to communicate. You're learning to negotiate. You're learning to collaborate. And you're appreciating each other's involvement, each other's input, and you're then able to step back and see, okay, this is what we've created. How do you feel about that? Is there anything else that you would want more to this? And the thing that you're building or that you're creating together may be different in different contexts, you know, depending on what you choose. It could be a lifestyle together, it could be a home together, it could be an activity together, it could be exclusive connected time together, you know, something that is really meaningful for both of you to do that you're both enjoying, but whatever it might be, but it's something that you are both co-creating and you're openly talking about the co-creation of it. You're openly talking about what involvement you would want to create this and how much effort you want to put into creating this and actually how you're both feeling about creating this new thing, because it's so important to you. And with that, you feel like you're actually reconnecting in that process. And with that, it would give you the opportunity of learning more about each other. And finally, number three is really about nurturing and supporting each other. And so this might seem like an obvious one, but it's really about considering, how is it that I am waving my partner's flag? And really, how am I waving their flag? And how is it that they're waving my flag? And really appreciating the way that they might want to wave my flag and how I can meet that. So for example, if my partner is wanting me to wave their flag by promoting them. And partly it's about waving their flag, and you can consider, well, in what context would you want me to support you, and how can I support you? What is it that you would need from me that would make this important for you? And so again, you're getting feedback from your partner with regards to how they want to be supported. Do you want me to help you problem solve certain things? Do you want me to help you to listen to certain things? Do you want me to help you check in on certain things or whatever it might be? But it's really about asking your partner, how is it that I can support you? And seeing how that works for you, seeing how that fits for you as well. And really doing that as a mutual process. And then the other method of really nurturing and supporting each other is with regards to mentalizing and empathizing with each other. And so it's really about carving out some time. And I would really suggest that you do this on a daily basis, whether you carve out 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, however long it is that you consider appropriate. But it's really carving out time every single day with the pure intention that the focus is all about your partner, and vice versa. Then the tables get turned and the focus is all about you. And so, you know, and please put your phone down, turn the TV off, stop doing whatever else it is that needs to be done around the house. But, you know, for those 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, come on, you can afford that time, right? If this is really a priority to you, you are going to afford that time. But in that moment, you can then say, well, how are you really? What's going on for you? And even in these moments, you can invite them to say, well, how are you feeling about us? Is there anything that you would like changing with us? Is there anything that you would like improving? And again, you can also share your feedback on that side as well when the tables are turned and, you know, and it's your turn as well to share and express yourself. And with all of this, it brings me to number four, which is so important. And it's the issue of, how do you resolve arguments together? Because the real art of being able to maintain and sustain the health of a relationship long term is not by never having an argument. Because if you're never having an argument, that for me is a red flag in itself, because one of you is avoiding something. Arguments are natural. They're going to happen, and it's okay. It's about, how do you resolve the argument? How are you both able to progress and live a relationship that feels caring, that feels nurturing, despite the argument? Because when you have an argument, you can then really pause, take a break in time, and really step out of your own head so that you can step into your partner's vision. So instead of immediately jumping on the defensive, it's okay for you to disagree. You know it's okay for you to disagree, and you can come up with your disagreement afterwards, but you need to figure out what it is that exactly that you're disagreeing to. And so the only way that you know what it is that you're disagreeing to is simply by reducing your defenses and noting that it might not necessarily be about you, but the problem is the problem. So the problem is not your fault. It's not your partner's fault. It's not, you know, the blame isn't 100% you or your partner, but the problem is the problem. And you're both on the same team looking at the problem. And so with that in mind, consider how it is that you can just reduce that defensiveness so that you can really step into your partner's vision and perspective, see what it is that they're seeing. And you can appreciate their vision and their reality because their reality is real for them. And anything that you may have done or this situation may have done would have had an impact on them. And the impact is real. And from then, you can share your perspective. And you can then both see that you have different perspectives. And it's not to say that any perspective is wrong or invalid or incorrect. But actually, differences occur. And how are you both going to work together? How are you both going to make this workable so that you can fulfill and sustain this relationship, so that you can eliminate that injury or reduce that injury, repair that rupture, so that you're both feeling attended to? And one of the significant things is, even though you may not fully 100% understand your partner with regards to their perspective or what's going on for them, but the effort is in constantly and consistently trying to understand your partner and for them to do the same thing for you. Because the more that you do that, the more that you can collaborate, the more that you can get to a mutual space of understanding, and you can both nurture each other and grow together. If you like this show, please do me 3 solids. First, share it with a friend, because if you found it helpful, I bet you that one of your friends will do too. Second, subscribe so that you never get to miss an episode. And third, please rate the show to help other people find life-changing content. I'm on a mission to help as many people as possible have a healthy and fulfilling relationship. So please help me in my mission.